So my name is Renee, and I am part of the teaching team here at Restoration. So how many of you have been enjoying the festivals and the feasts that we've been celebrating? It's been really amazing. I want to just share with you one thing before we get into today's message. One thing that Taryn Jones created, if you haven't had a chance to go look on the back of the sound booth, there's a mural that shows the festivals and the feasts that we're going to be celebrating. So thank her for that beautiful display that she created. And then in the way back between the curtains back there is another bookshelf that has representations of the feasts. On the side of it, there's a handout, and this is what I wanted to show you. Grab this. I think I've got about 25 made up, and we can make more. Take this home. This is a very in-depth description of each of the feasts and festivals that you guys can study. You can study it with your family. You can study it on your own, but they're back in the back between the curtains back there. All right. We are continuing our series. So at the beginning of this year, we started doing the feasts and festivals, and we'll continue those through the year. We have Pentecost coming up, and then we have pretty much a break until the fall when you get the fall festivals. But we have been doing the gifts of the Spirit as a church and studying those. And so our key verse, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. As you look that up, let's just talk about why Jesus left the church with the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, why did he leave those for us? Why did he equip us with the gifts of the Spirit? I believe that he left the gifts of the Spirit to help us bring his kingdom to earth. And so the big idea of this message on your notes there, as kingdom people, we need to look at these gifts as tools for us to use to expand his kingdom. As we become equipped with the gifts of the Spirit, we're able to minister to the body of Christ and to take that and minister to the world around us. And so think of yourself putting on a tool belt this morning, and you're just adding tools to your tool belt, being able to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. So let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 12. It seemed really high. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. This is in the New King James Version. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So God knew that when Jesus ascended and left his believers on this earth, that we would face struggles and trials and persecution. And so he left us that tool belt. He said, okay, this is a supernatural tool belt for you to use these gifts of the Spirit to minister to one another and to minister to the world around us. So far, what we have studied from this list, and you have, I think I've listed it for you, we have done the gifts of leadership, pastoral, wisdom, apostle, exhortation, prophecy, teaching, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles of faith, and giving. You guys remember all those teachings? If you haven't listened to them, go back and watch. But today, we are going to be doing gifts of healings and discerning of spirits. Now, how many of you guys have gone to giftstest.com and taken your spiritual test? Okay, write it down. Gifts, plural. I'm sorry, giftstest.com. And you can take that really quick, easy test, and it just shows you your tendencies on these different gifts and what the Lord has equipped you with. So today we're doing gifts of healings and discerning of spirits. So before we look at these two, let's acknowledge God is a God who continues to heal. Yes? And so there are some beliefs out there that those gifts ended when the last disciple, when the last apostle died. But how many of you have experienced a healing in your life? How many of you have been healed from medication from a doctor? Healings come in all sorts of forms, and we've all experienced healing, and God continues to heal this day. In the Old Testament, there are at least 7 Hebrew words that talk about healing. In the New Testament, most of those words can be summed up in one word, a Greek word called sozo, S-O-Z-O. And that word means, I love what this word means, it means saved, healed, delivered, restored, redeemed, preserved, made whole. And so when God promises healing, he promises all of those healings, saved, healed, preserved, redeemed, restored, made whole. So the gifts of healings. Everybody who has a Bible, turn to it. How many of you have King James, New King James or King James? Okay. NIV. New Living. Okay. Take a look at the different translations. But I want you to look up 1 Corinthians 12:9. I want someone brave. 1 Corinthians 12:9. I'm going to read it out of the New King James. For another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Who has NIV? Come on, somebody be brave. Okay, George, what does it say there when it says gifts of healings? The NIV says gifts of healings. Okay, NIV. Usually NIV is gift of healing. Anybody else with like a, usually the translation, I love that it says that, gifts of healings, because the New King James is one of the translations that translates it correctly from the Greek to English, and it is both words plural, gifts of healings. Well, what is the significance of that? I mean, why not just, I mean, Paul wrote this, right? And he used the Greek word that meant plural, gifts of healings. Most translations say gift of healing. They do it singular. And that's how I've always heard it. Gift, you have a gift of healing. But it's actually more, it's plural. And so why? What is the significance of that? Well, because there's more than one type of healing. And there's more than one type of gift. So let's talk about the different types of healings. And we're going to just run through just some scriptures real quick. The first time that God shows himself as a healer is in Exodus 15:26. And he calls himself, he says, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we are healed. Psalm 103:2, he forgives, I'm just reading these quick, he forgives all sin and heals all diseases. Jeremiah 30:17, God restores health and heals our wounds. And 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you were healed. So we see that God is a God who heals. So we can all acknowledge and agree on that. But let's just talk about why it's plural, why healings. We're going to start with that word. Well, first of all, when you think of healing, what is the first thing you think of being healed? Physical. We think of our physical body being healed. And so we're going to get a little group participation here this morning. In Jeremiah 30:17, it says, and I'll give you just a second to look that up. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. So there he's saying, I will heal your wounds. And so we see that he does come and he heals our physical bodies. And so how many of you can say, yes, God has healed my physical body. At some point in my life, I have had a physical healing. Hands up. Okay. God loves to heal. Another type of healing is emotional and inner healing. And here we can go to Psalm 34, 18, where we see that God not only touches our physical body, but he heals our inner emotional body. And it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. And so we see that God cares and knows about our broken heart. So what is emotional healing? What is that inner healing? What is that talking about? Well, oftentimes this is something that has happened in our past, usually as children. We have rejection, abuse, betrayal, abandonment, things like this that cause that damage in our inner soul, even grief, a loss of a loved one, things that wound us on the inside. And God meets us and wants to heal us in that place. He wants us to have a transformation of our mind and restore us to live in truth instead of living in the past, living in our experiences. And so God comes to heal our inner wounds. Another type of healing, so physical, inner healing, another type of healing, deliverance. Deliverance from evil spirits. So demonization is often the term that's used. And we see an example of this in Mark 5 and Luke 8, where God, when Jesus went across the lake and met the demonized man in the graveyard, and he delivered him from a legion of evil spirits. And we see that he gave him a renewed mind, right thinking. And so what is the evidence that you have evil spirits at work in your life? I'm just going to give a couple examples. Night terrors, tormenting thoughts, rage, occult involvement, self-harm, cutting, suicidal thoughts, hatred. All of these are examples of evil spirits having an influence in your life. And God has come to set us free. Jesus wants us to not walk in that torment, but to be set free, to be delivered. How do we know that? From John 10:10, if you have your Bibles, this is such a good one. Highlight this, circle it, put it on your mirror at home. John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief, who's the thief? Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So we know the workings that I just gave you, evidences, rage, suicidal thoughts, self-harm, hatred, all of those things come from the enemy to destroy us. And so Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The enemy, so any of those thoughts, any of those things in your life, those are from the darkness. And Jesus, everything that he gives is good and beautiful and whole. And so we know that he has healings for us, deliverance. Okay, that's three. Fourth type of healing, relational healing, marriages and family. So I can stand here. Oh, I forgot to ask. Okay, so how many of you have had been delivered from some type of influence that has been evil in your life? And you can say, yep, I have been delivered. All right, awesome. You guys, we see that God is still at work healing, bringing healings. Okay, relational healings. I've shared up here before that Dan and I went through a very dark, broken period in our life where we had come to a place of, you know, choosing path A or path B, and God had said, Renee and Dan, you can choose this path of separation if you want to, or you can hang on to the promises that I have spoken over your marriage and your life. Your choice. And it was at that point that Dan and I both chose to work on our marriage and to work through that dark place. And I can say 14 years later that God has kept his promises in our marriage, and we did a 180 degree change. And so I can stand here today and say, I have had relational healing in my life. How many more can say, yeah, I've had relational healings in my life? All right. That's number five. Oh, number four. One, two, three. Four. Number five, social. Now, this is where it gets kind of just interesting. Another type of healing is societal or nation healing. And so with societal, we have many examples in the Bible, but one is Nineveh. So Jonah was sent to Nineveh to preach repentance, and they did. The whole city, and we're talking, it was, I think it took like 3 days to walk across it. This is a large city, and the city repented, and God healed their society. And that's found in Jonah 3:10. Well, I have another fun one. So this is the Welsh revival in Great Britain, and this is in the early 1900s. They had a complete revival and a healing of their society. Complete transformation to the point that the miners down in the mines in Wales, they had to retrain their mules because how they used to command their mules to get the coal and things out of the mine was using swear words. And so they had to retrain their mules after they got saved because they no longer swore at their mules. And so I thought that was really funny. Another one, Billy Graham, and how many are familiar with that name? Billy Graham in the early 1900s, in 1949 and beyond, he had a revival that started in California and spread throughout the world and brought complete transformation and societal healing, nations being healed, to the point that bars and nightclubs and gambling establishments began to shut down because of the massive revival and healing. So we see that type of healing God brings. Another type of healing, environmental healing, and this you can turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And anyone that's a prayer warrior knows this scripture. Let's go ahead and read that, 2 Chronicles 7:14. And this is what he was saying to King Solomon. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin, and right here, and heal their land. God is not just concerned about human healing, but he says here, I'm going to heal your land. So he had environmental healings. And then a last type of healing, financial healing. Financial healing, we have a story, 2 Kings 4:1-7. And this story is, there was a widow. And this is during the time of Elisha, the prophet Elisha. Her husband had died, and the creditors were coming to take her two sons away and sell them into slavery. And she came to Elisha and begged him, please help me. I cannot pay my dues, and I cannot pay my debt, and my creditors are coming, and they're going to take my boys. So Elisha says, well, what do you have? She goes, I have only one bottle of oil left. That's it. And he goes, all right, send your boys out to get as many vessels, empty vessels, and bring them back and start pouring the oil into it. And so she did that, and she poured and poured and poured. And she was like, bring me more, and filled, you know, I don't know how many, it doesn't say, but let's just say dozens of vessels. And then she said, okay, now what? And Elisha says, go and sell those, pay off your debt, and keep your boys. And so financial healing. I can stand here today and say I have experienced financial healing. Anyone else? Financial healing. All of these areas that God brings healings. And so we see the significance of the plural tense of that word, healings. It's not just our physical body. God is concerned about every area, bringing healing to every area. So now let's go to the next word, gifts. Why is gifts plural? There are multiple types of gifts of healings. God often gives one or two types to a person. So when you go forward for prayer and someone has a gift of healing in a certain area, that's usually the anointing that is upon them. Let me give you some examples. Heidi Baker in Mozambique. Now, our own Rory was with Heidi Baker in her ministry. What is she? Where is Rory? What's her gift? What does she heal? Blind and deaf. Blind and deaf. So when Heidi Baker prays over someone, God has given her the gift of healing, especially for the deaf. 100% of the people that she prays for to receive their hearing get healed. 70% for blind eyes. How, right? I mean, that's crazy. She has refined, I want to kind of use that word lightly, refined her gift through prayer, through intimacy with Jesus, and through compassion. And she has the gift of healing blind eyes and deaf ears. Smith Wigglesworth, how many have heard that name? We're talking 1859 to 1947, so late 1800s, early 1900s. He had a gift of creative healings. This one is, I would have loved to have been there for this one. He has many documented healings, creative healings. He had a man come forward that only had stubs. He had no feet. He just had two stubs on the bottom of his legs, his feet. Didn't say what caused the loss of his feet, but diabetes. Anyway, he came and he asked Smith Wigglesworth, pray for me. And Smith said, go buy shoes. So he went and bought shoes. As soon as he put the shoes on, feet grew into his shoes. Crazy, crazy stuff. Another time, he had a woman that was, you could see that her spinal column was completely bent and distorted and twisted. And he prayed over her, and they said they watched the spine come right up into alignment. And so Smith Wigglesworth, he had a gifting, an anointing for creative miracles. Catherine Coleman, this is early 1900s, just passed away in 1976. Her was emotional healings. Her services were known as amazing worship experiences where people were healed and they wouldn't even come forward for prayer. Just the presence of the Lord was so thick and heavy that in her services, God would heal emotional wounds. There was a man that he had lost his daughter, and he was really depressed. And during the service, during the worship, he said he felt like God broke something in his heart. And he said, God gave me my heart back. And so that depression lifted, and he was able to walk in emotional healing. These are just a few examples. You can go search online. You can find so many examples of God's miraculously healing and the gifts of healing that he gives to people, different people. So healing gifts are diverse. God highlights different expressions through different people. When a person is given a specific gift of healing, it's usually just one or two types if they have the spiritual gift of healings. All of these, now this is really important to realize and to remember, all of these are wrapped up in compassion. When each of the ones that I just shared with you, Heidi Baker, Smith Wigglesworth, and Catherine Coleman, they operated in such compassion. It was never a show. It was always out of love and compassion. It says that oftentimes you would find them holding the one that they were praying for and weeping with them and praying over them, always in compassion, never a show. So the strengths, let's talk about the strengths of this gift in the body of Christ. First of all, it's a restoration for service. We are called to be kingdom people. If we're walking in brokenness and woundedness and physical unhealth, we are not as effective as we can be. So first of all, the gifts of healings is a restoration for service so that we can fulfill our kingdom assignment. We can fulfill all that God is calling us to. Number two, it's a catalyst for faith. When we share and witness healings, our faith grows and we walk in more faith toward the goodness of our God. It takes this abstract theology into a personal encounter. So instead of just this theological point that God is a God who heals, you can stand in front of someone and say, God healed me, and this is what he healed me of. It's a declaration, and it shakes the kingdom of darkness when we can say, I have encountered the living God who heals, and this is what he healed me of. And then at unity through compassion, when we carry one another's burdens, there's compassion, and there's, how many of you have experienced brokenness in another person that you just have such compassion for? Because you've been broken in that area as well. And you've seen the goodness of God heal you, and you want to pray for that same healing in another person. I have. And the last one, salvation. When we pray for unbelievers and they are healed, they can't deny the goodness of God, can they? And so many salvations happen when we pray and have the gift of healing, and we pray for someone and they get healed. Weaknesses. Gotta watch out for these. Performance pride. It's all about the show. How many of you experienced maybe a TV healing evangelist? It's glitter and glory and all about the guy or all about the woman. That is not what God calls us to. He calls us to humility and serving one another with compassion. And so that is a weakness of the gift of gifts of healings, is that becomes all about the person and not about Jesus. Another one, spiritual malpractice. They misuse the gift to blame a lack of recovery on the sufferer's weak faith or lack of faith. I've experienced this. Back in 2002, I was diagnosed with MS, and the progression of the disease has been healed. I've not had any new damage for 15 years. So that's a thank you, Jesus! But the damage on my nerves is, I'm still praying for restoration. But do you know how many times, I could probably count them, someone has said to me, it's your lack of faith that you're not healed. Don't wound the bride that's already wounded. To claim that it's their lack of faith, I have a notebook at home where I have written down every time that I believed with that this, just like the sun would rise, I believed I would be completely healed. I have written it and documented it. So it's not a lack of faith. I just continue to hold on and hang on for complete restoration. But don't use that, guys. Don't say it's a lack of faith or you don't have enough faith. What we should do instead is point to God's gracious goodness. Teach them, see, if you're praying for someone and you sense that they just don't believe God is going to heal them, share testimonies. Share scriptures of his goodness and his love for them. Help increase their faith. Don't blame them with a lack of faith. So that's just personal. That's much a personal testimony on that one. So that can be misused. Do not misuse the gift. And then rejecting God's provision. And this one is a caution for us. With one of the gifts of healings, if you sense that someone says, yeah, I'm healed, and you say, well, then don't take any more of your medication, and they end up in the emergency room. Be cautious. Be careful. God has given us doctors for healing. God has given us medications. And so I don't be foolish when you're praying for someone. Make sure that they're continuing. Go get a doctor's opinion and make sure that before you go off that medication, you are completely healed. So it's just a danger area. So those are all gifts of healings. How many of you would say, you don't have to raise your hand real tall, but how many of you would say you really feel that God has given you one of the gifts of healings when you pray for people? Okay, we're going to be praying for more of those, that God releases more of that in our body. Okay, gifts of discerning of spirits. Gifts of discerning of spirits is another gift that God gives the body of Christ for the equipping of the saints to further his kingdom. This is not discernment. Discernment is the ability to judge well. It's often a mix of wisdom, experience, common sense. Like when you say a mother has eyes on the back of her head because she knows what her kids are doing. That's discernment. Or if you walk into a room and there's two people that they're not smiling or really talking to each other, they are smiling, but they're not really talking to each other, and you're like, ooh, there's something going on in here. That's discernment, okay? That's discernment. That is not the gift of discerning of spirits. So let's talk about what this spiritual gift is. The gift of discerning of spirits is a supernatural ability to perceive the source, the root of a spiritual manifestation. So a demonstration, a show, a display, some type of manifestation. What is the root? What is the source of that? And there are three sources: divine, human, or demonic. And so the person with the gift of discerning of spirits can discern, is that Jesus? Is that divine? Is it the person's soul? Or is it demonic? All right, let's talk about those three. I've given you a boatload of scriptures on your page that you can read about the discerning of spirits. So let's talk about divine, the Holy Spirit. It's recognizing when there's that peace, that purity. On Friday, if you guys haven't come to Friday, Monday or Friday prayer at noon, come. Friday, there was a weight, and it was just this presence of the Lord, and you could feel it. That's the spiritual discernment of discerning the goodness of the Lord in the room. In 1 John 4, 1, it says, and I think I'll give you time. Test the spirits. Let me read it from up here. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So right here, that discerning of spirits, John tells us there, test it. And that would be what that is. Is it a divine spirit or is it a false? An example in a church. Let's say we have this high energy worship service going on and suddenly the music stops and someone shares a very short message. Now the hype has died down and everyone feels this weight, it's just this quiet awe. But the person with the gift of discernment says, the Holy Spirit really wants us to focus on reflection or maybe focus on repentance. God wants to heal wounded hearts. So the gift of discerning would be able to discern what the Lord wants to do in that moment. Spirit of discernment. All right. Next one, human, the soul. A person's soul can be behind manifestations. It can be very like emotionalism, manipulation. Let's look at Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. And so within us, we have the spirit of the man, and we can, a person with the gift of discernment, discerning of spirits, can determine, is it the Holy Spirit that's moving this, or is it the person personally causing this manifestation? Let me give you an example. So there actually is, and you have experienced this personally, all of you, there is a mechanism. When the music is at a certain beat per minute, and the lights are low, and the speaker is using a methodical, rhythmic voice, our brain, you're going to love this, our brain says, oh, something's going on here. It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be God. It's our suggestibility is heightened, and it may be, or it may just be the music that's moving you. And so a person, they may, at that moment, they may collapse, they may weep, they may start, shaking. It's not fake, but it may be just be their soul that is responding to the environment. So what's an example of that? Let's say that during a prayer time, someone is weeping and shaking uncontrollably. And the person with the gift of discerning of spirits can say, this person isn't having a supernatural encounter. They're just really emotionally moved. And so it helps the leader of that group know if they need to, just hug them and experience Jesus with them, or if they really do need a deliverance. See, difference. Do they need to be delivered? Is a demonic presence causing them to be shaking and falling all over the floor, or is it just their body responding to the presence of the Lord? See the difference? All right, then the last one, evil spirit. This is demonic. This is a person with the gift of discernment of spirits can spot the presence of oppression, deception, or spiritual bondage. Let's look at Ephesians 5, 10 through 11. Get this one. Discern what pleases the Lord. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So this is what the gift of discerning of spirits is to do in this situation, is to expose the deception, expose the evil. So let's look at an example. Let's say that we have a person that we've not done life with. They're kind of new to the church, and they go to a life group, and they start prophesying to everyone in the group, but the person with the gift of discernment, it sounds good and it sounds religious, but the person with the gift of discernment will say, that advice is actually causing a lot of fear. Or that advice is actually causing that married couple to have conflict and want to fight. So the gift of discernment would be going, there's something not right here. And so we need the gift of discerning of spirits to make sure that we are not walking in deception, not walking in false teachings, not walking, see the three differences? So you got the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and evil spirits. Three different sources that can influence and manifest in our different environments. It rarely operates alone, and this is the beauty of the gift of discerning of spirits. It usually operates with the other gifts. So let me give you some examples. Okay, but first of all, let me tell you kind of if you can get a picture. So let's say we're driving down Wolf Creek, and it is raining cats and dogs, and there is mud all over the road. And this 18-wheeler is flying up Wolf Creek, which they shouldn't be doing, but they are. And they get mud all over your windshield. You cannot see a thing. And guess what? You forgot to put in washer fluid. So you're smearing it back and forth, and you can't see a thing. The gift of discerning of spirits is like a clean windshield. What happens with your dirty windshield? You're driving down Wolf Creek, you can't see a thing. You either stick your head out the window or you stop, because you can either go off the cliff, run into somebody else, or crash, right? You're in danger. Without the gift of discerning of spirits, we are in danger. We need that gift in the body of Christ to discern and to clear our windshield. So the gift of discerning of spirits cleans off that windshield, and we're able to see straight, able to see clearly. So how do they work together? Let's talk about some examples. Words of knowledge and healing. So let's say that we have a situation where someone comes forward and they say, I need prayer over my shoulder. It really, really hurts. Can you just pray for me? So word of knowledge, discernment. Discernment says, that's not a physical ailment in your shoulder, actually. I sense God is saying that is from grief. So discerning of spirits, it's grief. Word of knowledge, you know what? That began when your father died. And gift of healing, you don't need a shoulder healed. You need your emotions healed. Let's pray over your emotions. Do you see how those three gifts work together? Another one, prophecy. Someone gives a prophetic word. It sounds encouraging, but the gift of discernment says, you know what? I know that, let's pick a name, Betty Jo. Betty Jo knows this person that she's praying for, and she loves her so much that she's really just giving a word from her own heart toward this person. That's really not the Spirit of the Lord giving her that word. And so the gift of discernment would say, let's bring this back to what Jesus is saying. What is Jesus saying over Betty Jo? Where's the need? Where's the healing? So gift of discernment. So prophecy and gift of discernment need to walk hand in hand with one another. Faith and miracles. Let's say that we're in a service and many people are needing a miracle. The discernment would say, the Spirit's moving. And the person with the gift of miracles says, and we need to pray over broken hearts. And so those two, faith and miracles. And then as you pray, another person in the back row goes, I have a broken heart. I need to be prayed for too. And so that faith arises. And so see how all of these gifts work together. Spirit of discernment, faith, miracles, gifts of healings, all of them working in conjunction with one another. So what are some strengths of the gift of discerning of spirits? It's an early warning system. It acts like a security alarm for the church. It catches deceptive motives and toxic ideas before they can take root. Seeing past the mask, it helps see the why deep inside, not just the what of someone who's genuinely hurting and someone who might be trying to manipulate the situation or manipulate the group. And then getting to the root. Instead of just treating the outward symptoms of the problem, that gift pinpoints the spiritual source. Is it divine or is it human or is it demonic? What source is causing that in that person? Weaknesses, avoiding the pitfalls. This one, a person with the gift of discerning of spirits can sometimes become a little judgmental and they feel like they are responding toward a person and pointing something out when really they just have personal feelings toward a certain situation, and they can be, they're actually just judging instead of being discerning and using that gift for good. They can develop a suspicious spirit. If it's not balanced with love, it can make you like a watchdog who doesn't trust anyone. It becomes an us versus them. And then maturity versus information. This is the one that we have to be so aware of. They may sense a problem, but how to maturely handle it with grace and with love instead of causing an alarm and raising a red flag and you hurt people in the process. Make sure that you're operating always in love and compassion. It is 11:30 already. All right. So one thing to remember with all of this, guys, is that compassion needs to be at the core of every one of these gifts. If we don't have compassion for one another, we will misuse the gifts that God has given us. And so we want to always have that compassion and come with a heart of love toward others. Jesus was moved with compassion. One last story. Do you remember with the woman that was bent over, that he prayed over in the synagogue? And he prayed over her. Well, first of all, he had compassion on her and sensed that she was in horrible pain, you know, being completely bent over. And so he had compassion, number one. Number two, he had discernment. And he said, you have a spirit of infirmity on you. And he cast out the spirit of infirmity. And then number three, he healed her. And so you see with Jesus operating in all of those gifts, compassion. So we're going to have just a time of prayer this morning. If you feel that God has given you a gift of healing, one of the gifts of healing. Yeah, thanks, Ryan. We want to have you come forward and we want to anoint you and anoint your hands to continue to operate in the gift of healing. If you would like the gift of healing, one of the gifts of healing, come forward and let us pray over you. If you need healing this morning, we want to pray over you as well. So if the ministry team could come forward, if you feel you have the gift of discerning of spirits, we want to activate and pray over you to be released to operate in the gifts of discerning of spirits. If you'd like to have that gift, come forward. Let's just get serious and get real, you guys. God has given us these gifts in our body. And if all you're doing is coming every Sunday morning and sitting there going, well, I know I've got the gift, but I don't know how to use it and I don't know when. Let's get you activated. Let's get you prayed for so that we can begin to operate in our church with these amazing gifts that he's given us. So all of these ones that are coming forward operate in the gifts of the Spirit. I know them all personally, and I know that they would love to pray over you, to release you, to operate in one of your gifts, to be physically healed. If it's more than a physical healing, if you're needing an emotional healing, come forward. If you're needing a financial healing, come forward. If you're needing a relational healing, don't wait another day. God is here. His presence loves to meet you in that place of healing. So let's not wait. Why walk out the door still broken? It's not worth it. I'm going to hand a mic over to Rory.
Yeah, let's go ahead and stand up, and just want to encourage you guys just to engage just a few more minutes in this. This is such an important aspect, this impartation idea. And so if you felt like a little nervousness when Renee gave that call forward, maybe that might be the Holy Spirit. It might not, but it might be. And so just test again, we're testing that spirit. Lord, is this something that you want me to have? If that is true, today's a great day to receive a gift of impartation.
Oftentimes, the thing that moves you to compassion is the area that God would love for you to be having impartation. Does cancer move you to compassion? He might want to give you the gift of healing over those with cancer. Do women that have been divorced and completely broken move you to compassion? He might have a gift of emotional healing to give you. Do people that are bankrupt and completely broken financially move you and you want to fix it? He may have given you the gift of healing over financial. So look in your heart and say, what moves me to compassion, Lord? What gift do you want to give me that I can pray and bring healing?